We were singing that song, "For yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." It's a prayer that Jesus taught us to pray 2,000 years ago. And I'm going to, over the next 2 weeks, just talk a little bit about spiritual gifts. I know we've kind of jumped in and out of it. We had some great interviews with people in the church. I taught a little bit on it. We had our friend Nick Fox, who their church in San Diego, California, they go out onto the streets, and they've seen many people saved, healed, delivered. And it really is my heart that this community goes beyond these four walls. And I think we're seeing it. There's some stories that I think we can't tell publicly just because of the region that we're in. But God is moving. And my heart around all of this, around the gifts of the Spirit, is not just to do like a little training on it so we can all prophesy better. Yes, we need to. We need to prophesy a better future, live in the prophetic. We need to hear the voice of God. But it's actually that each part of the church plays their part, because that is the church that I want to see built. And I think around the world, a lot of churches are built on a man. I know that it's pointed to Jesus, of course, but there's some incredibly gifted guys. I've realized more and more as I've been leading the church that my role is to release others into their gifting and calling. And one of them is Sean. How good did Sean do last week? Let's just give him a round of applause. Where is he? Yeah. And what I was thinking about prayer, and it's like what you don't see in Sean's life is that you have his mom who's been on her knees pretty much probably his whole life, praying for him, praying for the will of God to be worked out in his life. And we can never underestimate these moments of prayer. And as we've been singing that song about prayer, and I've been walking with Rocco at night because he's struggling to sleep, and I just have these amazing moments of just being with my Father in heaven. And again, God is just birthing inside of me again this heart of prayer. That nothing will happen in the city around the gifts, around us operating in what God has for us, around moving into greater and larger things in God, if we're not bedded in the place of prayer, where we hear his heart, where we wrestle. There's an amazing scripture where Jacob goes down to the river, and it says he wrestles with an angel of the Lord. And the word there is a messenger of God. It's God himself he wrestles with. And he comes and he gets to this point and he's wrestling. And then he has this moment where he says, "I will not leave until you bless me." That's prayer. It's like, "God, I don't understand something, but I'm going to keep bringing it to you. I'm going to keep bringing it to you." And he has this moment where this angel knocks his hip and he walks with a limp for the rest of his life. And even today, the Jewish, as far as I know, we have to learn about some Jewish culture because they're not allowed in our country, which is quite cool. But now they're not allowed to eat meat from that certain part. Am I correct, Alistair? Okay, you don't know. I don't know. You just seem like a guy who would know. But the point is, we need to bring everything to God in prayer. And I started to look through the spiritual gifts, and I've done training courses. We've been part of training courses. And it can become like, okay, these are the spiritual gifts. Do your test, get involved, full stop. For me, the preceding thing of that is Acts 1:8. Is when they were all in the upper room, they were desperate for Jesus. They had a heart of hunger of prayer to say, "God, if you don't come and move supernaturally through us, we are done. We believe that you resurrected from the dead. We saw you ascend to heaven. We believe these things. We know, we can see it, but we need the power of the Holy Spirit within us." And for me, any church that's not preaching that, we're not living in the fullness of what God has for each one of us. And I shared this story a few weeks ago. And I was preaching, but I was on my the bedroom floor of our house. Rocco was sleeping, and I was just on my knees, just crying out to God. And all of a sudden, he filled me with his presence again. And I'm saying that is the gift for all of us, and it comes often when we have nothing else. That's why fasting is good. That's why going through tough times and pain is, as much as it's horrible in the moment, how much more do you pray when you're going through tough moments? You're like, all of a sudden, God's way closer. And I know Starla's developing a sermon around like how God works through us in the place of pain. So over the next few weeks, I want to just cover a little bit of ground around spiritual gifts. And the heart behind it is that I believe as we've prayed that prayer that we need to be the people that bring heaven to earth. That is our calling. It's our goal. It's what Jesus expected of us. It says, "Now all authority has been given to me. Now go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And we cannot do it without a supernatural enabling from our Father in heaven. And we need to hunger for it. We need to be desperate for it. It needs to become our number one priority. And as I'm standing here today, I would say that it's getting there for me. I'd love to say that every moment I'm just this walking spiritual. I'm not, okay? But we are journeying together. We are an imperfect bride, but that is going to become a perfect bride into the future, that Jesus is going to welcome us back. God is building and growing a glorious bride. And if we don't understand these things out of Scripture and walk in them and live in them, we're living in a part of our Christianity and not in the fullness of it. Cool. 1 Corinthians 12, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware or uninformed," other versions say. "You know that when you were pagans," or before Jesus, "you used to be enticed and led astray by mute idols." That is any idol in the world. It could be money, could be actual physical idols, it could be anything. You were led astray by these things. "Therefore, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God that produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good." I'll explain what that means later. "To one is given the message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another message of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit." It's just to pause there. At times, God has given me a spirit of faith. Now, it's not like I'm operating in this like kind of supernatural faith all the time, but there's been moments in when I'm following Jesus, and at the one time, and I've shared this before, when I was sitting on the couch, and I started to speak to Star a bunch of things. One of them was about having children. We had our twins. She's pregnant again. Crazy. At that stage, we had been trying for about 8 years. Nothing. God said, "Begin to speak it out." And the problem with that is that you might go, "Well, I want something, and let me just start speaking out." No, God started to speak to me about speaking something out. We have to hear the Father's voice before we speak it out. And I had this moment, and I felt that in the next like year that we're going to be given a large chunk of money to the church. And I was like, I was outrageous in what I asked. Like, I was like, at least I should have asked for more, let's be honest. But it's where my faith was at, and I wrote this down, and I felt the Spirit of God is on me. And literally within like 3 or 4 months, this huge chunk of money came in, and it was able to sustain the church through some relatively tough moments. It was able to build this warehouse. It was able to start new businesses so we can do what we're doing here. God is the one who builds his church. And if we're listening to his voice, and I had this moment of the faith of God, and that could come in miracles. It could come in many different areas of manifestation. "To another, gifts of healing by the Spirit, to another, performing of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues." That doesn't happen that often, where someone speaks a tongue in church. I don't think it's ever happened in City Lights, and someone comes and interprets, but we're going to trust Jesus for the fullness of his word. "One and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills." These are manifestation gifts, and I'm just going to read here, 12 verse 12. "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all parts of the body, though we are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free," which was radical for the time, even for a Jewish mindset. "And we are all given one Spirit to drink." And you can carry on reading that. But I would encourage you, go read 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 14, and it speaks about all the different gifts, the manifestation gifts. Ryan's getting some stuff together to put into the community groups, like some gifts tests, which are good, not always accurate for me, but it's for some of you are operating and walking your gift already, but it's for those who are like, "Man, I want to be either more involved in the church or see what God has for me, not only in these four walls, but outside of these four walls." Okay, so we're going to look at, now I've got 2 points. What is the time? In 12 minutes. Poof. Okay. The foundation, it's going to be the foundation. And my second point is the focus. The foundation and the focus of the gifts. It says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. And so often we can not live in the fullness of what God has for us because we don't know about it. And that's why I'm informing you. That's why we teach this, so we can walk in the fullness of what God has for us. And ultimately, this is about being a disciple. It's being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what he did. That is what it comes down to. Jesus embodied all the gifts of the Spirit within himself. We are the body of Christ that get to see the gifts of the Spirit not only operate here, but in our workplaces. There was no sacred and secular divide in Jesus' day. Jesus operated and did most of his stuff outside the temple, which I'm going to talk on later. I was watching a documentary on the Hasidic Jews. And I don't know if you guys know who the Hasidic Jews are. They're the guys who kind of very much keep to themselves. They've taken over like whole parts of Brooklyn, I think, in Crown Heights. It's like the biggest Jewish community outside of Israel. And they're the guys with the curly hair and the hats. And they walk, when we're in Israel, you could see them. They walk like quickly. That's kind of part of their understanding of the Torah. And these guys, with all of that kind of the religiosity is all of that, they've kept their traditions going for thousands of years. I mean, it's just been passed from generation to generation. And one of the things they believe is that God is in all. Not pantheism, that's strange, where you believe God's in the lamp. No, it's like God is all around us. He's omnipotent. So they're acknowledging God all the time. And I feel like sometimes we, as followers of Jesus, and I'm guilty of this myself, is that we can make a sacred and secular divide. It's why sometimes we will come to church and we're like, man, there's the gifts of God operating, and we see the Spirit of God moving. Then I go to my workplace and it's like, wow, nothing's happening. And it's like you become two separate people. Then you go to community group and you bring a word, and it's all great, but then at work you're a different person. It's because we don't believe that God is in all and with us all the time. And there is no sacred and secular divide, which we see in Scripture. It's all one. And I think when we understand that, we begin to see that the lens through which we look at the gifts is, yes, it is for the strengthening of the body, but there's a word there that says it's for the common good. It's for everyone. It's we get to share who God is around the world. Just a quick little recap. We have to look at Jesus, and the Bible says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now, in Philippians 2, Paul writes, it says that they would sing a song in the early church that God emptied himself. I'm very much paraphrasing. This is like the Dan paraphrase version. But God emptied himself of his godness and walked on the earth. He says he became nothing like a human, then God exalted him to the highest place. Jesus did this for two reasons, and this has to be foundational in our thinking around the gifts, is that Jesus became 100% man. He was God in heaven, always eternal, Elohim, God, three in one, always. Then he comes, God, he's sent by the Father to earth. He becomes a baby, which is what we're going to be celebrating soon around Christmas. He empties himself of his godness and he walks a life filled with the Holy Spirit. He does this for two reasons. Obviously, to die on the cross for us, to save us from our sins. I love the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, God made him, it's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, can we say in him, we might become the righteousness of God. God made sin. God made Jesus. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let that sink in for a second. If we are in Christ, we are the righteousness of God. But yeah, I messed up yesterday. No. You're not acting like the way God has made you. As a new man, as a new person. There's going to always be sin and stuff you're going to be working through. But the reality is we are in Christ. We are in him. We are the righteousness of God that needs to settle in our hearts. And the only reason that happened is because Jesus was absolutely perfect. He walked the earth as a man. He died on the cross in our place. He's resurrected from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And he stood in our place. He became the perfect man that you and I could never, ever be. That has to settle in our hearts before we start looking at anything around following him. And the second thing in that is that Jesus becomes a model for us on how to live. His overall way of life, silence, solitude. He'd go and pray a lot. Jesus would have close communion with the Father. Jesus, when he's teaching us to pray, says, he prays, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. God, he listens to the Father in heaven. So we're never going to be perfect, but we keep aiming to Jesus. He is the model by which we follow our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all, who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So it's amazing that we are becoming like him with ever-increasing glory. So even when you have tough moments and you have moments where you're like, man, I feel so far from God. Maybe it's through your own doing. Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you haven't. Whatever it is, cool. You just get back up again. And we're being transformed into his likeness. Hebrews 2. I just want to read this quickly. It says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. This is the gospel of grace. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its punishments, how shall we escape and ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the apostles, the disciples. Verse 4, it says, God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. I've never seen that part in Hebrews 2. I've always read kind of the first part about salvation. But when we are when we start to walk in these gifts of 1 Corinthians 12, we have our motivation gifts. These are things that were given to us on salvation. When we start to walk out these things, it testifies who Jesus is. Testifies of a God we cannot see. And we get to partner with God and partake in that on this planet, which is amazing. And that brings me to my second point, is that the focus of the gifts, the focus of the gifts is always outward. There's Tom Reiner, who's written some great books around just church, and he's just released a new book called The Post-Quarantine Church, and I've listened to it, and it's really, really good. But one of the things they did some studies on is that over the years, they've seen some churches die off, and obviously his kind of angle is in the States, in America, and he's seen that the churches that begin to die off are the ones that are inward-focused and not outward-looking. We need to love. We need to look after. There's no perfect church. Let me tell you, I've said it many times. If we find the perfect church, we'll all leave here and we'll go join that perfect church. But the church that thrives, and I even think the church that thrives in the operation of the gifts and past Corona, whenever that is, there's some kind of vaccine that's been released, whenever that we're going to see the other side of this, the church that's going to thrive is the church that is outward looking, outward focus, that exists obviously for its members, but also for its non-members. So we get equipped and we get filled up so we can go out. We can be Jesus to people by the Holy Spirit, by him working in and through our lives. And there's an incredible church that actually Martin Smith, who's come here a few times, that he goes to in Brighton. It's called St. Peter's Brighton. And I was listening to an interview with the vicar, which is their pastor. And he says, we want to build a church that blesses the city. And I think when we start to look at the gifts of God, like of course it's for here, and we need so many of these gifts, serving, all these things to make what's happening here. Because this is as important as out there, but out there is as important as in here. It's this both and thing that we're involved in. He says, we want to build a church that blesses the city. And I keep thinking back, when God first spoke to us about planting this church, he said, it's going to be called City Lights. And we had this little tagline, word, his spirit, and the justice of God. And justice is to the poor, to the disenfranchised, to those who are forgotten. And we got some exciting things that are coming up over kind of Christmas, but we don't want to be Christmas Christians, okay? We as a church want to live in this place of like, if you go read, just do a Google search on generosity, say generosity Bible verses, most of them are linked to generosity to the poor. And God's favor, his hand, his power, his forward momentum is linked to that. So you're going to start seeing some stuff that I think we've been involved in. And if I had to think of over the past few years, we've been quite involved with kind of runaway maids, those who are working in people's homes but being highly abused, some people being burnt with irons. And we helped them get back to their country of origin. We paid for food. We helped people in the prisons who were there for no real reason other than not being able to pay rent. And so we've been able to help with that. Jess Coburn, where she's put your hand up, she's kind of silently sits around the back and stuff, but she's been so involved and has a finger on the pulse of the poor in the city. And I think so often in Dubai, we can, and I'm including myself in this, we can go to our homes after church on a Friday, enjoy some kind of food, and we can just forget that there's a whole bunch of stuff around the corner. And I know we cannot, and we have done, I think we've done as much as we can, as many as, we've walked through every door that God has opened for us, but I know that there is more. And we get to operate in the gifts. If you think of the gift of mercy and compassion, that is someone that's a motivation gift where they'll walk into any situation and be driven by mercy. And we need each other. We are not independent. We are interdependent. So someone with a gift of mercy may go, I can see the need and I'll run after that. But you need someone, for example, with a gift of administration to take that to another level. Who can say, okay, let's build a structure around this. Looking at my Swiss friend here. And you can make this thing way bigger, way more effective. So you can have the vision. So for me, I'd say in the body of Christ, if you look at like the eye, the arm, I'm an eye, okay? I believe I am, okay? I'm visionary. We dreamed and we imagined this church, but we would be nowhere, I can tell you right now, at least in the first early years, without my wife. She is, when we do gifts test, time after time, administration is our highest. Mine is like pastor, hospitality, okay? So you'll come to my house, you'll feel love, but Star will make sure that it happens, okay? So in the early days, I would just say stuff in staff meeting, and it was only like three of us at that stage, and Starla would make it happen. And it still happens today. Now, thankfully, our team has grown. We've got people like Ryan, who's gifted. He's a gifted pastor. Amazing. Those who sat with him, those who have been discipled by him. But he's so much more. We've got part-time staff. We've got people who make the vision move forward. And these are people that carry the gifting. But then we've got the volunteers within the church who come in and serve and pour out their gifts so we can see the glorious body of Christ affect the city. And it's just an amazing thing how God has set up the body, that we are interdependent. We need one another. We need people around us. We need my gifting alone. Imagine everyone is a visionary. We'd literally just be like, cool, we're going there. No, we're going there. No, we're going there. No, it doesn't work like that. God will give that as a gifting to people to steer a community in a certain direction. You've got people come up behind there and make the thing happen. Plus the gift of miracles, plus the gift of speaking in tongues. All these things just work together. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one, which is you and me, we conclude ourselves, that was given, it says, on salvation, whether Jew, Greek, slave, or free, we're one baptism, we're given something by God to operate and walk in. Okay? Now to each one, the manifestation, the word manifestation, is actually to bring to light. And that is your unique view on the world. Your unique view on how you see the body of Christ and the church. And without you, we would be less. So we need people, that whatever they bring to the light, they manifest, they bring it forward. That is their gift. It says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now the word common good is actually symphero, the Greek word, and it's the combining, or it's like where we get the word symphony from, and it's the meaning is that it says, yeah, to properly combine in a way that brings profit and gain, that results in benefit or advancement. I don't know if you've ever heard an orchestra tuning. It's like all out of key, and then all of a sudden it starts to kind of come into key. And if I had to get, we don't have time for it now, but if we had to come up here and like everyone would play different keys in the band, you would know that that's not going to be the best worship session you've ever been under, okay? Someone's playing C, then someone's playing B flat at the same time, which may work in a jazz setting, but it's not going to work in a church setting. And then Ryan comes and just plays what he wants. And in many ways, that's what this word is talking about. That we've been given a common good that we get tuned to the tuning fork of Jesus. He's our middle C, if you want to use music terminology. We tune ourselves to him, but we all bring our gifts. We bring our violins. We bring our whatever's in an orchestra, those big drums. And we come and we work towards a symphony, which is the word of God. But we are all called to carry something for the greater good. And it comes, honestly, it comes with a lot of humility, because it's like, cool, I know God's given me this in my heart. But I may have to serve in an area that I'm not necessarily gifted in, but it's needed for this moment in the church. And I can tell you, that's often how it happens, is that you get to serve. I was a sound guy for many years before I led worship. Not a great sound guy, but I did the best I could. I'm a bit of a daydreamer, so I'd often just like daydream, and everyone was like, what's happening? I'm like, where's the sound guy? I'm like, oh no, I'm the sound guy. And we all need to, there's certain areas that we serve, and then God puts us into the areas that we are particularly graced for in a certain season of our life. I'm going to end with this scripture. Romans 1:11, it says, I long to see you, this is Paul writing, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that will make you strong. Our gifts, when done right and done well, empowered by the Spirit of God, from a place of prayer, humility, is that it actually builds each other up. It's like I get built up when I see Leandra lead worship. She's gifted and called for that. Patty nailed it this morning. People, if someone's playing bass guitar out of tune, you're going to feel it, and you're going to know that that person's playing out of tune and you're struggling. We bring our gifts, and it's outward focused. It's for others. And I want to just end on a story, and then we can stand and pray together. But Jesus in John 4 is an amazing moment. He gets to a well in Samaria. First of all, Jews were not allowed to interact with Samaritans. They were kind of the half-breeds of Jewish people. And they believed that their place of worship was a certain mountain, where the Jews believed that their place of worship was in Jerusalem. So there's this constant warring and constant, and Jesus goes, cool, I've got to go from this place, but I'm going to go straight through Samaria, the forbidden land. And he goes and he meets this woman at a well. He tells his disciples to go get some lunch for him. And as they're out, he meets this woman at the well and he starts talking to her. And he says, listen, will you pull me up some water? And then he starts to speak about eternal life. He starts to speak about refreshing. And this woman's not really getting it. And there comes a point in their conversation. And Jesus just, through a word of knowledge, which is a gift of the Spirit, Jesus manifesting through Jesus, who is listening to the Father and saying, and he goes, are you actually... You've had five husbands. And he doesn't even prophesy like this incredible, like crazy word for it. He just says, you have had five husbands. She runs back to town and literally the whole town is saved. And I honestly believe that that is a picture for me of what God has for us as a community. Is that when we start to thrive and live in the gifting or giftings, some of you are multi-gifted in certain areas, and it may not fit within even the scripture, but you use it for the kingdom and the glory of God. When we start to walk into those things, it can open up a city. It can open up hearts. This world right now is needing hope. They're needing something more than what they can see. And we have that. We have the hope that we don't, like it's a sure foundation. It says that we are anchored to the hope that is Jesus. That's not wishful thinking. It's like, no matter how bad it gets here, and it could get possibly worse. Let's be honest. Like, let's not be like unrealistic. It could get worse. And if it does, what happens to us? We go deeper and we dig into Jesus and we carry the hope of heaven inside of our hearts. Let's pray together. You may stand. Yeah, I just feel like, just as I was speaking now, that God wants to bring hope into people's lives. And I can tell you, there's no special formula, there's no special prayer. But it's as we look at Jesus. It says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He starts and he finishes it. So Jesus, we look to you this morning. No matter what week we've had, no matter what tragedy we've walked through, no matter what pain we've experienced, maybe some of you had a great week, we look to you, Jesus. There's no one else. Can we just, we've been given an imagination by our Father in heaven, and there's something about it, doing imagination prayer, which I'm trying to learn. But the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And as I was walking with Rocco the other night, I've always had this picture of like kind of high up in the clouds. There's a Father in heaven. There's this big throne and Jesus is there. And it's like, but as I was walking, I've realized that he's literally right here. That the intersection of heaven and earth is not a far off distant thing, that it's close. It's just there's this overlapping. So Father, we want to step into that. That that hope that is behind the veil, what we don't see. Would you supernaturally let us walk into that, live out of that. Bring peace, Father. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings us into the very presence of God. It's a thin layer. God, we trust you. Put our hope in you this morning.